All right, welcome in to the Saturday Morning Podcast. We did this a year ago, and everybody liked it, where we brought on R.J. Bell from pregame.com and Brad Powers, his senior college football analyst at pregame.com. And we're going to do a little college and a little pro, and we got good feedback, and I'm really excited because there's two or three college football games this weekend that are gigantic, and I'll be on the couch watching them. So, guys, you ready to go?
Absolutely, Colin. Let's do it.
All right, RJ. Let's start with you and Brad, Michigan-Notre Dame. That is Saturday, late night NBC. My takeaway, Brad, on this is that with Michigan, I get the better defense, and I think I get the better head coach. And to be honest with you, Shea Patterson may play in the NFL, so I may argue that I get a better quarterback. I'm going to take Michigan close in this one. It is at Notre Dame. Take it away, Brad. Who do you like? What's the number and why?
Right there with you, and I like Michigan plus the points here, plus one for the Wolverines. And you look at the defense, Colin, for Michigan, going up against a Notre Dame offense that loses their top running back, top wide receiver, top two offensive line, not on Notre Dame's team last year, in all of college football. Yeah. Both guys went in the top 10 of the NFL draft. I think significant matchup edge for that Michigan defense. Better head coach. Look, whether you think Shea Patterson is going to be good, great, or above average, I don't think anyone could argue that he's not at least a significant upgrade over what they had last year at quarterback. Love the Wolverines here, Colin.
And Colin, this is an interesting game because if you would have bet this in June, so these games of the year numbers came out in June, is actually Michigan was a 6 to 7 point underdog in this game. Wow. And it's been Michigan, 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 and betting, moving it up to about pick 'em now.
By the way, Brandon Wimbush is the quarterback for Notre Dame. A little more comfortable as a runner than a thrower. That's fair to say, right?
Absolutely. And you look at his passing stats from a year ago, completed less than 50% of his passes, and now you're asking him to have some success against what many consider to be the best secondary in college football this year. I'm not buying it.
Okay. Let's go to Washington-Auburn. My takeaway is Auburn's front seven defensively is full of NFL guys, and I love their quarterback. I think Stidham's an NFL quarterback, maybe a third-round guy. Washington doesn't have any unit, in my opinion, as good as Auburn's front seven defensively, but I don't think they have a lot of weaknesses, whereas Auburn, I think, is rebuilding their offensive line, and I don't love their secondary. My gut feeling is I think Auburn's front seven defensively will eventually wear down Washington's O-line, so I probably do a slight lean with Auburn minus a couple points. Give me the line currently, Brad. What do you think?
Yeah, currently Auburn's a 2-point favorite. Game is in Atlanta, Georgia, so you right off the bat got to give Auburn a point and a half of home field advantage. I mean, keep in mind, Colin, this is the third straight game Auburn is playing in this stadium, and obviously a travel spot for Washington, but I'm going to lean with the Huskies here. I think they got the better coach, Chris Peterson. One's going to argue that.
Yeah.
You look at the more experienced team, Washington is that. And look, Gus Malzahn, I think, is overrated. Great job for him getting $40-plus million contract after beating Georgia and Alabama a year ago at home. But away from home against good teams, he just doesn't have it, Colin. 1-9 straight up, 1-9 against the number last 10 games away from home against good teams.
All right, let's go to the third game I'm really interested with. I love Mark Richt. I don't know if he's an A-plus coach, but I think he's a recruiter. I think he's an organizer. So Miami plays LSU in Arlington, Texas. That's a Sunday night game on ABC. My overall takeaway is I like Miami in this spot for one reason, is that I think because they were really choppy at the end of last year, they're still building a program. They don't have a ton of depth. And so I think a lot of people, I think they're the team in college football this year that could be a top six team, but nobody acknowledges it because it was an ugly end to last year. But I got to tell you, when I watched them in big spots, there was a lot to love in the first 9 weeks. And I don't, you know, Ed Orgeron, Mark Richt, I think I get a huge Miami coaching advantage. I'm going to take Miami, lay the points. What's the number of your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Miami's a 3.5-point favorite. The game's in Arlington, Texas. I like the Hurricanes for much what you just said, Colin. Number one, you got a major coaching advantage here with Mark Richt. Ed Orgeron on the hot seat for him. Miami, you're correct. Some people just are down on Miami because what happened at the end of last season? They lost each of their last three games, got blown out by Clemson in the ACC championship game. LSU's one of the least experienced teams in the entire country, changing offensive coordinators again. Joey Burrow Monroe, the transfer from Ohio State, is going to be making his first career start against that Miami defense. Give me the Canes minus the points.
All right, let's go to what was Vegas's reaction, Brad, on the Urban Meyer mess? How did Vegas react?
Well, the original reaction was to downgrade Ohio State about 2.5 or 3 points. And what that does for a season win total for Ohio State, it's worth about a half a win is all. And we're talking about one of the best coaches in college football for at least the last quarter century, if not all of college football history, about a 2.5, 3 point downgrade.
Now, that would have been if he had been out the whole year, it would have been a half a win.
Yep.
Now that it's just a couple games, much, much less.
Much less. In fact, the season win total hasn't moved at all now in the marketplace. And let's look at the week one game, Colin. Ohio State right now is laying 38.5 points after the Urban Meyer's been suspended. Prior to the news, they were a 38-point favorite.
And there's been, Colin, a ton of big bets on the Buckeyes this week. There's a sense that they want to make a statement because they can pretty much name their score against Oregon State. They're going to want to make a statement. A lot of sharp Buckeye money week one.
Ooh, that's good. Can I give you an underrated team? Okay, I'm going to give you an underrated team. And a team I don't know what the heck to make of it. Underrated team Texas. Now, Tom Herman still, he's coaching other people's players. In fact, his first recruiting class was, I mean, he didn't have any time. So, but I kind of like his young quarterback. And I got to be honest with you. After they got it figured out in the first couple of weeks, they should have beaten USC. I kind of think Texas is better than people think. What is your take? What's Vegas' takeaway?
Vegas' takeaway is they completely agree. No team took more money as far as these college game of the year lines, and those are the big games like Texas, Oklahoma. That line opened, Texas a 12-point underdog. That line right now, Colin, is 5. Texas, that line moved a touchdown.
Wow.
Texas getting a lot of money against USC, getting a lot of money as far as season win total jumped up a full win for them. Personally, I agree with you. I have a lot of Texas tickets. I like what I see. It's an experienced team, 14 returning starters.
Yep.
Last year, much better than their 7-6 record indicated. Lost 4 games by 5 points or less. A lot of those were to elite teams. Oklahoma, USC, Oklahoma State. Texas, I'll tell you, a lot of these coaches, these elite coaches, make that move in year two. We've seen Bob Stoops win a title in year two. Jim Tressel, last year Kirby Smart made a move in year two. I think Texas is that team that makes a big move nationally in year two under Tom Herman.
And the confusing team to me is USC. I know some USC boosters. They're not sold on Clay Helton. They return a ton of good players. They got 3 veterans to stay like Lobadon, Cam Smith, Porter Gustin. They should be good up front defensively. But they got a freshman quarterback. What is Vegas? What do you think of USC?
Well, first off, the market is not buying USC early in the season. Now, for the full season, not much movement on the season win total for USC, but early in the season, they're fading the Trojans, and it makes a lot of sense because, Colin, first time since 1980, USC has to replace their starting quarterback, their top rusher, and leading receiver from the previous year. And you look at that schedule early on, you're asking JT Daniels, that true freshman, go on the road to Stanford week 2, on the road to Texas week 3, and get the job done. The Bettors and Vegas are fading the Trojans early in the season.
I'll get back to Brad and RJ in a second. Upstart has revolutionized how we borrow money by going beyond the traditional FICO score to offer personal loans, taking into account factors like job experience, education, when determining your interest rate. It's quick and it's easy. Checking your Upstart rate is free and has no effect on your credit score. Pay for just about anything. When you're approved for a personal loan with Upstart, the funds are yours, and they're yours alone. Use them to pay off credit debt, consolidate debt, I've done that, eliminate student debt, even make a large purchase. The choice is yours. All right, debt. Some have a lot, some have a little, and the vast majority of us have some. But that path to financial freedom can look awfully bleak when you have high interest debt. And that's where Upstart comes in, offering personal loans, but they're not like the ones your bank or credit union provides. That's because Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. Yep, they actually reward you based on your education and your job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. 2 minutes all it takes. Check your Upstart rate, always free, and won't affect your credit score. Hurry to upstart.com/herd. Upstart.com/herd to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate takes a couple of minutes, doesn't affect your credit score. Upstart.com/HERD. And finally, you know, Baker Mayfield left Oklahoma, Darnold left USC, Josh Allen leaves Wyoming, Josh Rosen leaves UCLA, Lamar Jackson leaves Louisville. When you look at who replaces them, I mean, these are big-time programs, right? I mean, except Wyoming, they're bowl teams and we know about them. Who is the hardest guy to replace according to Vegas, which would give us some sense on what Vegas thinks of all these rookie NFL quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's not even close. I mean, most of the guys, Baker Mayfields, the Josh Allens, the Josh Rosens of the world, Lamar Jackson, worth about 3 points because the backups that's replacing them are pretty good. The biggest downgrade by far is Sam Darnold, your guy, going to a true freshman, JT Daniels. At least at the start of the season, the downgrade from going from Darnold to JT Daniels is about a touchdown, far more than Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray. That's about a field goal downgrade. So significant downgrade, Darnold having to replace him.
All right, let's shift to the NFL. That was Brad Powers, by the way, who's the senior college football analyst, pregame.com. And you've heard him straight out of Vegas radio show and Fox Sports Radio. All right, RJ, let's go to the NFL. And Brad, you can jump in whenever you want. Let's go NFL regular season over-under win totals. The one that jumps out to me, Carolina's at 9. I would bet the under on that. First of all, their schedule, they face a lot of good quarterbacks. They've got a new offensive coordinator. I love Carolina's front seven, but I can make the argument that the NFC South, the top three teams, that's the best division in the National Football League. So Carolina 9, I'd bet the under, feels inflated. What, of the over-unders, what's getting bet?
No, I think Carolina under certainly has gotten sharp action. And you mentioned it, Turner in, Shula out at offensive coordinator, and typically the first third to half of a season with a new coordinator, expect a little downplay. Not always, not every game, but in general, it takes a while to learn that system. Another example for Carolina of a team that tends to regress, how did they do in one-score games? Because in one-score games, it's pretty much a coin flip if you win or lose. Carolina 8-1 last season in one score games. If they had won 4 or 5 instead of 8, we'd be thinking about Carolina very differently. They got lucky in those games. That typically doesn't continue. Agree with you under Carolina.
Okay, I'm also under on the Raiders 8. I just don't think football's like Silicon Valley. It's very fluid. There are weekly changes. Good Lord, 10 years out of coaching, a Khalil Mack situation, Raiders under 8 feels like, along with Carolina under 9, a real moneymaker for me. What does Vegas think?
If we were speaking in April, May, I would have agreed with you. I feel like we're getting to backlash territory here, whereas there's been so much talk from the analytics guys because obviously the Raiders coach has been so anti the modern era. Boy, there's been so much negativity. I have a feeling the Raiders are bordering on underrated. So, no, I agree with you. It's going to be a learning curve for sure, and being a Monday Night Football announcer is very different, even if you have your film room and your quarterback camp, than being a coach in the NFL. I just think, Colin, that's already baked into the number, and you got to wonder when it comes to that Mike Tomlin CEO type coach, if maybe he's going to be good at that kind of coach, whereas coordinators are more on the X's and O's.
Boy, that's interesting. Okay, I'll give you one more, because the three that jumped out to me, Panthers under 9, Raiders under 8, I'm going to say New England under 11.5. First of all, left tackle, a little bit of a rebuild on the O-line left side. This receiving corps is the weakest I think Brady's had in years, especially in September without Edelman. Gronk only gives you about 10.5, 11 games now. They don't have, outside of Dante Hightower, an impact front seven guy, and he's coming off an injury. I think under 11.5 for New England, and I think the AFC's better this year. That's another under I'd take. What does Vegas think?
No, that's interesting. You think the AFC is better? I would make the case that 7 of the 9 best teams in the NFL are from the NFC. I mean, who's the third best team? We got Patriots, we got Steelers.
Chargers.
Who's the third best team?
Chargers.
Boy, a team that I've been hearing about for years how good they really are, but they never seem to win a game.
Right.
And you're right. The odds do agree with you. The Chargers are like 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I'll say this. I don't disagree with the under 11.5 because if all you do, Colin, is go under the highest ranked team, the public usually is just going to be back in that high ranked team. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm also saying that in this division, they might be sitting their starters, the Pats, the last 2 weeks, which would help them not necessarily win that 12th game. But in general, I'm going to ask you one question. What decision in the offseason did the Patriots make that it wasn't their decision? When the left tackle left, they said, go ahead. They could have given him that same contract. He probably would have stayed. Like, it seems like we're all saying, oh, look at this move, look at that move. They've all been moves explicitly made by Belichick. And I don't think you get rich betting against Belichick.
Wow. Okay, Brad, let's go back to you for one more. RJ Bell, pregame.com. Brad Powers is senior college football analyst. Big Ten question. I think Ohio State has the best roster. Wisconsin has the best offensive line and running game. I think Michigan's got the best defense, but I think Penn State's got the best quarterback, college quarterback, and the best schedule. If I said Big Ten today, where's the money going? I don't think Penn State's the best team, but so much of college football, it's hard to win. 19-year-olds struggle on the road. They're different teams. I have Penn State winning the Big Ten, and I think they may have the third best roster. What say you?
Well, what say me, at least when, if you think Penn State's going to win the Big Ten, I think we undercovered a best bet from you, because right now Penn State's 5 or 6 to 1 to win the Big Ten behind Ohio State, behind Michigan, and even behind Wisconsin from the Big Ten West. Late money's been on Wisconsin after that Ohio State news broke. Basically, Wisconsin's almost has a free pass to the Big Ten championship game. They're about 10, 12 points better than the second best team in the West, but I'll be honest with you, looking at the schedule, Penn State does have the best schedule. They host Michigan State, they host Wisconsin, they host Ohio State. If they can figure out how to replace their offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead, not Saquon Barkley, I'm more worried about the offensive coordinator, then you could be right, Colin. And again, you can get Penn State right now 6-1 to win the Big Ten.
All right, RJ, are you ready for a couple of weeks, RJ, for my brilliance? Are you ready? I know it's been a hot summer. Yeah, I'm gonna keep that heat on you because we'll be doing what we do every Saturday.
Well, here's the thing, Colin. Collective IQ is a very modern concept. Your picks are shockingly good, and we've been doing this what 8 years now.
Yes.
A lot of people are skeptical. They're like, Colin, picks, winners, but you've got an amazing history of winning games. Now, what we do even better is when the wise guys agree.
Yes.
You were almost. I mean, it's crazy. You were over 75% last year.
Brad, don't listen to him. It's not crazy. It's my gigantic brain functioning. All right, guys. Brad Powers, terrific stuff again. RJ, I love this Saturday podcast. An annual thing here with the two guys. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.